It's remarkable to ponder that ever since Adam left the garden and bore children, you are here as a remarkable product of a birth, and another birth, and another birth, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of births for thousands of years. What miracles! What a miracle it is in the midst of so much death for us to be here. On Anzac Day, my dad was so many here because my father was here during the war, and one of the things that he and one of his friends were doing, they were flying aeroplanes off the Point Perpendicular out here, and experimenting, or they were being trained, or they were training themselves to see how close to the waves they could get. My father got too close to the wave and hit a wave, and down went the plane and him. And the only reason my father survived is that there was a fishing boat that happened to see them doing this stuff, and he rushed over to where my father was and plucked him out of the water. And another fisherman about 20 years ago was fishing in that area, and they found the propeller. It's in the museum out at Albatross. My point simply is that, you know, you are here because of the minute, microscopic, extraordinary activities of God to preserve you when millions of others weren't, were you? I love what Spurgeon said, the hinges of history are microscopic. God not only looks after the big things, he looks after the little things, and all for the purpose that he would get great praise and glory for his name. What an amazing sovereign God we have. He does as he will, doesn't he? He does all things according to the pleasure of his own will, and none can stay his hand. That's why this is such a glorious book of scripture, isn't it? Because we have before us, as we have in the rest of scripture, we have before us just this amazing picture of our glorious, glorious God. And it is. In the beginning was the Word, and so our God had a beginning before the beginning. Our Saviour was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray that the light that shines from our Lord Jesus and is reflected back to him through your word might illuminate us again, Heavenly Father, this morning, that we might see with eyes that you alone can give, and hear with ears that you alone can give, and receive with hearts that you alone can give, Heavenly Father, that your dear and precious Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, would be seen as glorious, would be received and believed on, and that we might, Heavenly Father, simply rest, simply all of our eternity, of our souls before you, on the perfect and finished work of your dear and precious Son. Bless your word, Heavenly Father, and bless the preaching of it to your people. For we pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. I wanted to have a look with you this morning briefly about what it is to be born of God. That's a glorious word, isn't it, to be born of. Little words, like little hinges, are big words in the scriptures. There are no little words in the scriptures. They're all big words. The word of, we skip over the word of. Do you know what the word of means? It means out of. It means from. It refers mostly to origin, where it's come from. So it's out of, or from, or by, or the point from which action and motion proceed. Born of God. Our creation is here to show us pictures of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and his great glory in the salvation of his people by substitution, by redemption, by satisfaction, by his perfect obedience unto death, by his bearing the sins of his own, by the glorious union of him with his people. And so, as we are here, our very being here is evidence of the absolute sovereignty of God in preserving us when multitudes aren't, and gathering us when multitudes won't gather. We are here because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name is more than just words, isn't it? There are services all over the world today and all over this land in special ways where they're talking much about Christ and something about God, a lot about God, something about Christ and talking about a Jesus. But the name, we believe on his name. The name is who he is. It's what he is. It's what he does. And it's why he did it. And it's where he is now. So as we saw last week, to receive Christ is to rest on God's word. I love that story of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15 when she had came to the Lord Jesus Christ with a demon-possessed daughter, and he called her a dog and he says, I wasn't sent, I'm only sent for the lost children of the tribe of Israel. And that woman just says, truth, Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ proclaimed himself to her, she just said, truth, Lord. Those that couldn't receive him spent their lives in enmity, contriving ways to undo his words and to trap him in his words. But the child of God just says, truth, Lord. So to receive him is to rest on God's word. To receive him is, in a sense, to have all my eggs in one basket. Is to rely on him, to believe on him, is to rely on him. I am resting the entirety of my salvation upon the Lord Jesus Christ, as proclaimed in this book that is before us, in his words, in his word. And to be assured, to receive him is to be assured that all I need will be found in him, that he is able. He's able to do what he has promised. To receive him is to receive him willingly, not to be coerced into some reception by men, not to have your arm twisted in some emotional meeting so that you can put your hand up and go forward and pray a sinner's prayer or kneel at some bench. Thy people shall be willing. My people shall be willing in the day of my power. To receive him is to receive him freely. Nothing adding to his finished work. The warrant for coming is he says, come. He says, come unto me. Look unto me. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. It's a new birth. A new creation, a new man, there's a new hope, it's a new life. So
So I wanted to have a look at birth, and as I spent this last few days looking at it, I was amazed how many aspects of birth, our particular birth, our earthly birth, are remarkable reflections of what it is to be born again. The reason we have human birth is that we will know something of spiritual birth. Spiritual things always precede and are above earthly things. So I wanted to go through this list, and I'll be doing it very briefly, but I just wanted us to trust that the Lord might cause us to see heavenly things in this, and some of it is just so extraordinary, isn't it? So your birth indicates life, doesn't it? A birth indicates life implanted from other life. It's only life that begets life. Christ is the life. And he begets life, and as we saw in 1 John and other places, he begets life that's like himself. It's a new man, it's a new creation, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. A new creation. Old things have passed away. A birth requires a father and a mother. It's a glorious verse in Galatians chapter 3. What's the mother? What's the mother of all believers? The Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. The Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. So birth from above, to be born of God, requires a heavenly father and in a sense a heavenly mother. A birth requires a seed to be planted and to germinate, as it were, and to grow. The Word of God. The Word of God is that seed, isn't it, that's sown by the Lord. That Word of God is the Word which by the Gospel is preached unto you. It's a Word that comes from God. It's a Word that has life. He says, my words are spirit and they're life. He gives them spiritual force. He gives them that power to become, that power to exist as, that power to be born again as the children of God. See, it's Christ in you. See, Paul's agony of the Galatians when they had heard the gospel and responded positively to the gospel, and then some person that comes along and speaks much of Christ and speaks much of good doctrine and sound doctrine, they moved into Paul's pulpit after he'd left. And all they said was, you have to do something. I'll show you how you can live a life that's honouring to God. Here are some things to do. Here's a little bit of circumcision and a little bit of law keeping. And all of these things will be the way in which you express your appreciation for God, for what he's done. They weren't denying Christ, were they? They were saying that you can do something. You can do something that is meritorious in the presence of God by your own activities and your own volition. And Paul was agonising over them. And he's agonised over them like a mother. He says, I'm in agony over you until I see that Christ is formed in you. He says to them, you've lost the freedom, you've lost the joy. There's an article in our bulletin, the gospel is good news, it's glad tidings. It's not a recommendation of what you must do, it's a commendation and a declaration of what God has already done. It's not doing, it's done is the gospel. There's a seed planted. That seed is to be planted and nurtured. See, birth is the revelation and the manifestation of an existence that was very real before it came into being, isn't it? No one knows the time of conception with any accuracy, I don't believe. But there's a life there, isn't there? There's a real creation there. The only possible way we can establish when life began and a human being began in its mother's womb is at the time of conception.
So any abortion is always, always to be abhorred. The concept should horrify us. There's a real existence, isn't there? We existed. We really did exist in God's purposes and plan and mind. We had a reality in that union with the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. All the spiritual blessings we receive now are blessings that we received in Christ before the foundation of the world. Just read Ephesians chapter 1. John wants us to go back. That's why he begins his gospel, doesn't he? In the beginning. He wants us to go back to the beginning. He wants us to go back beyond the beginning. Because such is the glory of our salvation. It has, in a sense, no beginning. It began with God. And it was manifested. See, when people are born again, when there is this new birth, when there is this light that shines from heaven, when there is this salvation that's revealed, it's revealing something that God did a long time ago. We were saved, weren't we? We were saved. We read it often, but we ought to read it just again. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 9, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. If God's power is at work in you, you'll suffer afflictions because of the gospel. Who hath saved us, completed perfect act, and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. And this is birth, isn't it? This is why this is such a beautiful picture of salvation. But not according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And this is what birth's about, isn't it? But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's what being born again is, isn't it? It's to have that manifest, that life and immortality brought to life. Brought to life. So birth indicates life and requires a mother and father. It's the implanting of a seed. It's the revelation, a manifestation of an existence, a real existence, an unseen existence to this world. So what do the elect of God look like in this world? We have no idea. We have no idea. We have the glorious gospel of the sovereign grace of God to proclaim. And we know that in God's time, every single one of God's children will hear. And they'll be born again. And when the very last of them is born again in this world by the preaching of the gospel, this world has no reason to be any longer. And God must wrap it all up. It's a revelation. It's the manifestation of an existence. The birth is a coming from darkness into light. I have no idea what babies see in the womb. I don't know that they see very clearly when they come out. But the reality is the new birth is a transfer, isn't it? As Paul says in Colossians, it's a transfer out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. It's the light. He who is the light has a kingdom. He's delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So a birth is coming from darkness into light. The birth is coming to new realities, isn't it? It's to see things with new eyes. You might recall what it was like when the Lord first opened your eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything and everyone in this world was new. Everything and everyone in this world was new. It sparkled in a way that I'd never seen it sparkle before. It had a meaning which I had never seen before. It's coming to new realities.
It's a process that involves travail, doesn't it? Paul was in travail until Christ is formed in you, he said to those Galatians who'd gone back to a little bit of law keeping alongside all of their sound doctrine. It's a travail. We read of that in John 16. It requires the exertion of power. It's a painful process, but it requires the exertion of power, power from on high. Birthing is a process which involves both blood and water. And out of the side of the Lord Jesus Christ, when that Roman soldier thrust his spear into him, out flowed that water, didn't it? The water of washing, of regeneration, the blood of the cleansing, of the washing away of all the sins of God's people. Gone, they are forever. The birth brings joy to the mother, joy to the parents, and in that joy, all the travail has dissipated. It's often just forgotten because there's a child that's born into the world, as the Lord Jesus said. See, a birth brings a new relationship and a new name. A husband and wife became a mother and father. They become a family. The birthing creates a family. It creates new responsibilities, new relationships. It creates the most extraordinary bond of love. What love there is between a mother and a baby at birth. It's an extraordinary bond, isn't it? And when that love is reciprocated by smiles and all sorts of other things, it is a mutual love, isn't it? We love him, he says. We love him because he first loved us. Love is one of the glorious marks, isn't it? Of being in the family of God. We love him who does the begetting, and we love him, we love those that he begets. We never love them as we ought to love them. Our love is so pathetic that it doesn't ever require us to say very much about it. But we have a promise from God that we love him. And I love that he makes the promise. And what he promises to do, he fulfills in the lives of his people. A birth, in a new birth, creates new desires. When a baby is born, it has a whole new existence, doesn't it? A whole new existence, no longer in darkness, a whole new existence, no longer in captivity, a whole new existence in light, a whole new existence in relationship. But a whole new existence is sustained by something else, isn't it, altogether? It was fed in its mother's womb through the umbilical cord. When it comes out, it has a desire for one thing. And it has one food, doesn't it? It just has one food. It just has its mother's milk. As newborn babies, says Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. You don't have to create the desire in the baby. The desire is innate in the baby, isn't it? The desire is innate in the child of God. These are the green pastures, aren't they? What's the essence? It's a remarkable thing, isn't it? Out of the essence of green pasture comes milk. It's the milk of the word, isn't it? God's newborn children have a new relationship with this book, and all of a sudden it becomes life. It becomes sustenance to our souls. When we're in anguish, when we are crying out like a baby, I trust it's your case, but the number of times I have gone to the Word of God in despair and distress, and there's been a word there
that was just as if God plucked it out and said, this is particularly for you at this particular time. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. But when he's with us by his word. He's with us by his word. So that we can go back to it again and again and again and drink and be nourished by it again and again and again. It's precious to us. The birth obviously is something that happens to us. It's not something that we do. We don't initiate it. In fact, the baby is very happy where it is. The baby is actually expelled by its mother because the mother can't cope with it any longer, basically. It's not the baby knocking on the door to get out. The mother saying, you must go, isn't it? And so we're passive in that birth. As much as there's an extraordinary activity, the birthing of God, of his children into this world, is an activity that God is absolutely sovereign over in every tiny little activity. So it's not of your initiation. But in some way, you just find yourself living. That's how God's children find themselves. They just find themselves believing. And it's not a decision. It's not a decision. It's a new life that creates new desires. The birth creates a belonging. It creates new relationships and new responsibilities. And it creates a new access, doesn't it? We have access to God. We come to the throne of grace that we might find help in our time of need. We might find mercy from God. We might find that we can just come to a father and rest in his arms. And come to a mother and find nourishment and nurture and protection. You know what it's like for little children, isn't it? It doesn't matter what the danger out there is. It doesn't matter how big it is and how scary it is. There's just one place, isn't there? If it's in its dad's arms, it's safe. Let the world do what it will. So it is with the child of God. So it is with the child of God. We have access to God. What an extraordinary privilege that God has given us as children of God. We go to him as a father. I've often told that story about us being in Hebron, but it's so beautiful in its picture, is that, you know, we lived on a hallway with 120 girls and about 40 staff, and everyone walked past that, and we were across the hall from the dining hall, which is about three or four times the size of this and as noisy as this place is with lots of kids and other things. And on our door, everyone knocked on our door all day long, whether it was people cleaning, people delivering things, students asking for things, the dorm girls upstairs, there were 25 of them upstairs, and our living room was their living room, and our kitchen was their kitchen, and often our bathroom was their bathroom. And so they were continually knocking on our door for all sorts of things. And then we had Kate's friends, and Jennifer's friends, and Hume's friends, and teachers, and all sorts of others. So all the time you're in there, and it was knocking on the door, knocking on the door. Three people didn't knock on that door. They just walked straight in, didn't they? Why? They were my family. When the door opened like that, I knew it had to be one of the three of them. They had access, didn't they? We have, as children of God, we've got access in the very courts of heaven all the time. New birth, born of God. New birth. And birth reveals the parents' characteristics. It's one of the most humbling things about being a parent, is that your children reveal who you are. And a lot of the time it's not very pretty. But your children reveal you, don't they? They reflect you. And the children of God reflect our Heavenly Father. We're made like unto him. The children born are dependent. Except you be born again, says the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter the kingdom. Except you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as a little child. Children are dependent. Children are trusting.
Religion encourages people in their independence. But God's children have no confidence in the flesh. And those that are led of the Spirit are not under law.
So, a newborn baby has one source of food. It has one type of food. It has a new way of taking in that food. It has a new way of breathing in this world. It has new eyes to see.
The new birth. Nicodemus comes to the Lord Jesus Christ at night and he says, Rabbi.
He says, it means teacher. I need to be taught some more. I see that you're a great teacher. I'm here as a learner. You're a teacher.
Thomas doubted the Lord Jesus Christ
and doubted that resurrection despite all the evidence you could have wished to have before you. And what does Thomas say when he meets him?
He says, my Lord and my God. Born of God. Born of God.
It's believing on him. It's receiving him as the gift of God.
It is the activity of the power of God.
It's the food that nourishes the heaven-born child is that which gives glory, the greatest glory to our God.
God's word of promise. God's word made flesh. God's word crucified and risen and reigning glorious.
He nourishes his children. He carries them. I love that verse in Isaiah 40, verse 11.
He takes his little ones in his arms.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm. That means the arm of his power and his authority and his rule. And carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. He shall gather. He shall carry them. He leads his people gently.
What a glorious, glorious privilege.
What a glorious birth. What a glorious brother we have in this family of God.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the way you lead and guide and teach your people. Oh, our Father, we pray that your words to us will be spirit and life. That you would cause us to both eat of the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ and to drink his blood. To have him not just living in us, Heavenly Father, but to have his life as our life and the nourishment of our souls. Oh, our Father, we too pray that the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified would be all our life in this world. That you would continually, Heavenly Father, nourish and nurture those who are yours. Bless us, Heavenly Father, and cause the blood of your Son to be precious to us and cause those words of promise that you've written in your scriptures that reflect the word made flesh. May that, Heavenly Father, be the desire of our souls and the nourishment of us, Heavenly Father, while we walk through this world.
carried by you in your arms. Bless us, Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen.